Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. It's Midday Magazine for Monday, the 17th of October, 2016. I'm Joe Vicnicki with the local news. Alaska Governor Bill Walker expects to propose a mix of more spending cuts along with new taxes and other new revenue for the state budget for next year. Walker addressed the state's fiscal crisis and the Alaska Mental Health Trust logging plan in Petersburg and Ketchikan during a visit to Ketchikan late last week. Layla Carey has more on that story.
Governor Bill Walker has money on his mind still. As the state of Alaska continues to face a multi-billion-dollar deficit, Walker and his administration are gearing up to write his budget proposal in advance of the next legislative session. Speaking to the Chamber of Commerce, the governor says he expects that the current fiscal reality is the new norm, and Alaska must adjust to long-term low oil prices. Alaska's budget depends heavily on oil tax revenue, and when oil prices are low, that revenue drops. Walker says the legislature failed to act on any new sources of revenue, which is why he moved to use part of the permanent fund dividend appropriation for state expenses. Walker says he felt it was a necessary move.
And I said, I say to the state, I won't take all the blame. I'll give the legislature all the credit. If there's any credit to be given, I'll take the blame. I think at this point I've succeeded in taking all the blame. I think I've got that all right on me. But that's okay. I don't shy away from that.
Walker says he hopes the legislature will be more willing to look at revenue sources after the November 8th election. And by revenue, he means taxes.
We right now have the lowest personal income taxes or payment of government in the nation. If you put forth all the proposals we submitted last year with $1,000 dividend, we're still the lowest in the nation. I don't like taxes at all. I'm not a tax person at all. I don't like income tax, I don't like sales tax, I don't like any of that stuff. Well, but I can't ignore the government services that we need to provide.
It's not all doom and gloom, though. Walker says there are opportunities the state can take advantage of to create a more economically diverse and stable future. One of those is natural gas. Walker recently returned from a trip to Korea and says other participants in a meeting there were amazed that Alaska doesn't tap into and sell its gas.
They spend $10 million a year to bring natural gas into their country. We're reinjecting double that amount right now.
Following Walker's presentation, an audience member asked about the Alaska Marine Highway System and how to convince South Central and Interior lawmakers of its economic value to the entire state. Walker says that can be challenging, but the state has started a process with Southeast Conference to establish a long-term plan to stabilize the Alaska Marine Highway System.
And I got a little bit of a glimpse from some of the members of that the committee that we put together, is that they want to be a little more aggressive on it's sort of the Marine Highway System is such a jewel that we don't actually use it as much as we should be able. We should be pushing that and marketing that more than we are. And they're going to be playing more on the offense, I think, than on the defense. I like that very much.
Another audience member asked whether the state has a plan to continue funding its share of the public employee retirement system and teacher retirement system, commonly called PERS-TERS, that doesn't involve pushing more costs onto local government. Walker says the state is working to refinance that program, which would reduce the costs and not further burden local communities. During his meeting with elected officials from the Ketchikan Gateway Borough, City of Ketchikan, and City of Saxman, Walker says he knows that deficits roll downhill, straight toward local governments. He says the best way to stop hurting local governments is to fix the deficit and stabilize the state economy. Walker says that last year he asked governments to submit resolutions in support of a fiscal plan.
This year we're going a step further. We're going to ask them to testify. And having to say, fix this.
City Mayor Lou Williams III told Walker that from the city's perspective, if the state has to implement a tax, he prefers that it not be a sales tax, because that's a primary revenue source for local governments. Walker responded that he would prefer an income tax. In his earlier comments to the chamber, he said that an income tax would take advantage of all the seasonal workers who take most of their incomes back south when their jobs are complete. Borough Assembly member Felix Wong suggested the state invest in training and education to encourage new industry and look at ways to take advantage of the Arctic opening up to shipping. Walker agrees Alaska is strategically placed.
We need to start thinking, look at our location differently than we have in the past. And our location, we're probably more part of Northeast Asia than we are the lower 48, as far as when we trade. So you're absolutely right to be thinking that way, and that's what we need to be thinking that way, to look at what we can bring to Alaska. And those opportunities are there.
But Walker says the state can't take advantage of those opportunities until it balances its checkbook. During a media interview later on Thursday, Walker talked a little more about the process he's taking to draft his proposed budget. He says he'll repackage some of his previous proposals for revenue, and there likely will be more cuts as well. Walker also talked about the Alaska Mental Health Trust Board's decision in August to log portions of Deer Mountain and land above homes in Petersburg, unless a federal land exchange is approved by Congress in January. Walker says his office heard from many concerned citizens and discussed those concerns with the trust.
It looks like the process really wasn't a good process that was followed. I just saw a press release that the Mental Health Land Trust is now going to sort of reopen the process, have public hearings that should have happened before, receive public input, which should have happened before. So that's a good start.
The trust has scheduled public meetings on the issue in Petersburg, Saxman, and Ketchikan. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
Petersburg's Borough Assembly has another decision to make tonight on a feasibility study for dredging the South Harbor. The Assembly back in August approved spending $325,000 on a dredging study to be done by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. That federal agency is matching the amount and may take on long-term responsibility for maintaining the channels into South Harbor. Borough Manager Steve Giesbrecht is seeking authorization from the Assembly to sign an agreement with the Corps for that dredging study. In other business, the Borough's Historic Preservation Commission will be giving an update following that commission's second meeting. The Assembly also has one resignation and one appointment to make for that group. Assembly members also are considering an appointment to fill a vacancy on the hospital board, and other vacant seats remain on that board, the school board, planning commission, and the public safety advisory board. The mayor and assembly also are deciding on the position of vice mayor and other assembly representation on various regional and local committees. There's also an ongoing discussion on whether to accept 3 remote docs from the state. That meeting starts at 6 o'clock tonight. It's in the conference room of the Hongstad-Paradovich building on 12th Street, and you can hear it broadcast live here on KFSK. Also tune in to Borough Business, our live call-in show. In just a few minutes, we'll be talking with several assembly members about tonight's meeting just after the midday news. In other news from around Southeast, homes in Port Alexander are getting new water faucets this month. That's part of an effort to minimize lead contamination in that community's residential drinking water. Cindy Christian manages the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation's drinking water program. She says samples from 2011 and 2012 showed lead levels in a few Port Alexander homes exceeding the action levels set by the state.
And that means that if you exceed the 15 parts per billion, that you have to do something.
Lead doesn't usually contaminate water at the source. More often, it leaches in from lead-lined pipes or faucets. So Christian says Port Alexander had 2 options, either to replace older faucets or start corrosion control.
Corrosive water means that it can leach these chemicals out of the pipe. And so corrosion control is usually a chemical that's added, like orthophosphate or soda ash, that can raise the pH of the water so that it's not so corrosive.
But Christian says Port Alexander did not have the funds needed to implement corrosion control.
You know, for the bigger systems like Anchorage or Sitka or Ketchikan, you know, you have a lot of people paying their water bills, and so you can take that money and pay your operators, and you can buy the chemicals and everything that you need. It's just not the reality in a lot of our smaller communities in Alaska.
The DEC notified Port Alexander of its high lead levels in 2011 and 2012, but since the funds were not there, Christian says no other action was taken. One home remedy for lowering lead levels is to flush a water line, or essentially leave tap water running for a minute or two in the morning. It doesn't fix the problem, though, and when the community was tested again this year, the DEC again found unsafe lead levels in a few of the homes.
That's when we decided that the faucet replacement for each one of the homes there would be our best option.
Christian says the DEC got funding help from the EPA. She expects kitchen faucets for the Port Alexander's 10 homes to be installed by the end of this month. Petersburg High School's varsity volleyball team won the silver bracket of the Juno Jive tournament Friday and Saturday. Petersburg had losses to Mount Edgecombe and Juno Douglas in pool play. And after pool play, Petersburg coach Jamie Cabral says his team matched up against Sitka for a chance to make it into the gold bracket with the larger Southeast schools.
Ended up a little short on Sitka, 25-19 in that one match. And so it's a little different scenario tournament. It was one set to 25 points only, so instead of the normal two, just because of time constraints. So a lot of our pool play was just 1 to 25, but lost to Sitka 25-19. And we responded well, though, and came back as the silver bracket champions and met Wrangell in the championship in the silver bracket. And we performed the best I've seen all season in our last game Saturday night. So.
Cabral says it was good to see a higher level of competition and good for his team to end the weekend well. Emma Chase and Courtney Fredrickson were named to the all-tournament team, and Cabral highlighted some of the other top performances for Petersburg.
Had some really good play from Martha Johnson, one of our sophomore defensive specialists, kind of her first big tournament at a varsity level for her. She did really well. Courtney Fredrickson did well on the outside. Katie Brock was almost perfect on every swing in that championship game, and I think she hit like 900% on that one. And then Kaya Dahl running the offense, Elisa Larson and Tanya Spears in the middle blocking, and Emma Chase defensively and offensively as always came through. And we had good performances from some of our other players. Abby Bennett running the offense a couple times as a setter. Chandler Strickland got thrown on the outside as an outside hitter one game, and she did well. Hannah Newman did well, and Callie Caples came in and served some massive points in some of those games too. So everyone contributed, which was great.
Petersburg next heads to Klawock on Wednesday for the first of two tournaments this fall that will determine seeding at the 2A regional tournament. The team will play best of five matches against every other 2A team in Southeast, and Petersburg opens up the seeding tournament against the Wrangell Wolves. Petersburg's wrestling team hosted its only home meet of the season Friday and Saturday, and the swim teams competed on the road in Juneau as well. We'll hear more about those teams later this week on KFSK News. The National Weather Service reported Sunday that Juneau was one of the first communities in Alaska to see measurable snowfall this year. Quinton Chandler reports that snow followed an unusually dry October in Southeast Alaska.
National Weather Service meteorologist Edward Liske says this season is the first time Juneau has seen measurable snowfall before Fairbanks since about 1940.
Fairbanks has not seen any snow yet so far this season. Neither has Anchorage. Nome has had zero. Kotzebue has had zero. The only place that really has had measurable snow so far this season has been Burrough with a tenth of an inch so far.
But Juneau has seen snow earlier in the past. In 1974 and again in 2000, Juneau saw its earliest snowfalls on October 2nd. Liske says this year's snow followed unusually dry October weather. According to him, Juneau saw 2 inches of snow downtown Sunday, 5 inches near the airport, and 8 to 9 inches at the National Weather Service forecast office in the Mendenhall Valley. The precipitation started as a sudden mix of rain and snow that hit Juneau on Saturday, interrupting what Liske calls unusually warm conditions.
As we started getting heavier and heavier rain, or heavier and heavier precip, it just made the surface temperatures colder and colder to the point that the rain changed over to snow during Saturday evening.
But Liske says the snowy weather was short-lived. It was already reverting to rain Sunday evening, and he predicts Juneau will continue to see warmer and rainier weather through the rest of the week, and the snow will most likely melt. Before the early snowfall, Liske says an area of high pressure called a ridge surrounded much of interior Alaska and the Gulf of Alaska, giving Juneau its uncharacteristically dry October weather.
That ridge has actually been deflecting a lot of our storm systems that we usually see farther south. The storms that the Pacific Northwest has been seeing over the last several days, it's basically those storm systems that have been deflected farther south.
He says that ridge has mostly collapsed. Liske also says this entire year has been much warmer than usual for Juneau. That, plus this month's earlier dry weather and this most recent early season snowstorm, has led him to conclude this year has been odd, to say the least. In Juneau, I'm Quentin Chandler.
And for KFSK News, I'm Joe Vicnicki.